everyone, welcome to Anatomy of an Agency with me, Katie Traxton. This podcast shares the experiences of people in the public eye who work in the business of sport and entertainment. Whether you're looking to work with talent or for your own representation, we hope to give you honest insight into how things work. The good, the bad, and everything else in between. In this episode, we are speaking to Mark Ormerod, the UK's first triple amputee after the conflict in Afghanistan, our most decorated ever Invictus athlete, an award-winning author, and somehow, amongst all those other things, father of three. I asked him, why does he need an agent?
I tried to build a career post-military without an agent on my own. It was stressful. It was very time consuming. In my mind, it wasn't the most efficient way to do things because it was a whole industry that I'd never been exposed to in my life. I didn't know how it worked. I had no contacts in that industry. I'm not very good at kicking down doors and asking for opportunities. So I needed somebody who kind of covered all those bases for me and was the yin to my yang. This is what I like. You know, you flip a camera on, someone asks me a question, like, there's an event planned, a talk plan, whatever it is, I turn up and do what I'm asked. All the stuff that's wrapped around it, I'm terrible at, which you are phenomenal at. And in my mind, I hope in yours too, it's just a good combination and we do well.
Do you feel that without an agent, people were taking advantage of you?
In short, yes. And I think we had this conversation actually when we first met, but when I left the military in 2010, I didn't really know what my options were. And then when I started to discover what they were quite limited. And being a speaker was like one of the things that a lot of the men and women were doing when they left the military. So I started trying to forge my way in that world, didn't really know what I was doing, had some opportunities come up through either former military friends or people that I've met since. And I didn't know in the beginning that this was even a thing, like that you got paid to do this. Like coming from the military, they always make you stand up and give lectures and talks and presentations and it's part of your job. So when I was a civilian, when I left the military and I started doing it in the beginning, I just thought, okay, it's a nice thing to do. I'll share my story, it might help some people, it might lead to some sort of work down the line. So I was just doing it for free. And then one day, I think I had done like a 30-minute talk. This was back in 2010 or 11, I think. And I came off stage and a friend of mine said, you did all right, Mark, didn't you? And I was like, oh, thanks, man, I appreciate that. Thinking they meant that I spoke well and came across well. And then he said, £1,500 for 30 minutes work is pretty decent. I said, well, who got paid £1,500? He said, well, you did. I said, no, I didn't. I said, I didn't get paid a penny a day. I said, I did it for free as a volunteer. What happened was that the guy who I thought was a friend who had arranged the talk had charged these people £1,500 for me to be there and not told me. And then when I approached him about it, he kind of just shrugged and went, that's the way it works, mate. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it doesn't work this way. I'm pretty sure I should have got at least a little bit of the money that you charge. And I was obviously fuming, so we're no longer friends. But it made me realise and understand that this is a job and this is an industry and there's a whole world out there. And then you'll need a representation, someone that can go out there, kick those doors down for me, get me paid because I've got a family to support, and then see what opportunities there were.
Well, I'm pleased to have learned about the idea of 100% commission.
No.
That was bad. I go away and think about that. Mm-hmm. What actually was the final straw that made you think, okay, don't really know what an agent is, don't really know how it works, but it's got to be better than what I'm going through. I'm going to try and find one.
So that example I just gave was one of many, not just for the speaking world, with maybe TV stuff, radio, whatever it was I was doing. I just did things because I thought they were cool and they were exciting and they were fun and they filled my time and kind of pushed me out of my comfort zone. And then one day, quite a big opportunity came up. It's a bizarre story. So it was between one set of the COVID lockdowns, I can't remember which one it was, but my phone went off and on the screen it said Dubai. And I'm like, well, I don't know anyone in Dubai. Not well enough to have a close relationship for them to call me. But I was curious, so I picked up the phone and this guy introduced himself to me and he said that, so I left school in 1999.
Old.
You're very old. And I think in 2001, he went to my old school to become the vice principal and was now a principal of a school in Dubai. So we had never met, but we had some things in common. And he explained to me that he had a business partner in South Korea. They had a media company together. They had just ran their first military reality TV show, kind of similar to SAS Who Dares Wins, and the numbers off the charts. He said, I know that you weren't special forces, but I've seen the stuff that you're doing and I'd like you to become one of the DS, the directing staff, and to help us build this team. So I was, you know, honored and super excited. So got on the phone, started calling my friends in that world who I knew who might be up for doing this, helped build a team, spent a couple of weeks going backwards and forwards. Again, without representation then, they're throwing contracts at me. I don't really know what I'm looking at. So I'm scratching my head, trying to read through it, make sure that I'm, you know, that it's legit and it helps me out, especially with the COVID thing, with getting repatriated and healthcare and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, a couple of days before I was due to fly out, we had finalized the contract. I was happy with everything being covered. Emailed them. They didn't get back to me. So I called them and said, you know, we're good to go now. I've helped build the team. I'm ready to go. I've blocked 6 weeks out my diary. We've agreed this, agreed that. I've turned some of these jobs down. And then they told me they didn't want me anymore. So I'd helped build this team. I had booked 6 weeks out of my diary, turned work down, all this kind of stuff. Changed my whole life for that period around going out to South Korea to film this show. And then they just said, we don't need you now. So that was the point I thought, right, I really need somebody to represent me who can negotiate, because I'm terrible at that as well. And I don't usually do this, but I got on to what used to be Twitter and I put out a polite tweet, not an angry one, because I was angry, but I didn't put out an angry tweet. And I can't remember exactly what it said. Something like, I've been trying to muddle my way through life now as a civilian for a couple of years. I've had a few, I think I said I've had my pants pulled down a couple of times. The latest incident has kind of pushed me over the edge now. I need someone to help me with this, but I don't know what I need or who. Is it an agent? Is it a manager? It's quite a long tweet. Anyway, a guy called Pete Reed tweeted me back. I didn't know Pete, but I looked in his bio.
And you went, oh, 3 gold medals.
Well, see, naval officer, OBE, 3 Olympic rowing gold medals. So I read that and I was like, okay, this is a very impressive dude. He's not just telling me he knows people. For the sake of it, he probably does know some very capable people. So we exchanged DMs. He told me a little bit about his story and how he knew you and suggested that we meet. So, you know, I had nothing to lose. I was kind of, like I say, muddling my way through it unsuccessfully. And that's when we struck up a conversation. You told me your story and how you were starting this agency. And then, did we talk about the meeting?
The meeting where you sent your prospective agent, your one lifeline, a text saying, meet me in a forest behind a Greg sausage roll van.
Right, let me explain this story, right? I was going north to my in-laws, you were going south for a bit of respite, and we just happened to be going past the same service station on the M5.
Yeah.
At around about the same time on the same day.
Bridgewater, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I was dog sitting for my neighbours. I've never owned a dog before, so it wasn't normal for me to stop at a service station to walk and feed and water a dog. I didn't know they had dog walking stations, and this one just happened to be behind the Greg station in the car park in some seedy little forest, and that was all I had. So I text you saying, hi Katie, I'm here, come and find me in the forest behind the Greg's. It sounded really creepy, didn't it?
Yeah, but at least you didn't say in the seedy forest.
No, and at least I was with my family.
Yeah.
You know, so you couldn't, you know, who's this weird man that wants to meet me in the forest? But we met and we had a 45 minute to an hour catch up and conversation, went our separate ways, and I think the rest is history.
The rest is history. I'm going to take you back to contracts.
Okay.
Because you said that one of the things when you don't have an agent or anyone to help you, right, is that you get offered an opportunity, someone sends you a contract, you probably don't have a lawyer or a retainer.
Right.
So have you ever just signed a contract?
Yes.
And fallen foul of that?
Many times. Fortunately for me, the only thing it's ever cost me is a few quid. It hasn't been anything where I've... I know, maybe there is. Maybe, no, fact. Did we tell this story?
Anonymously, yeah, I think
I was like, a few quid
or your entire identity?
Okay, you just reminded me. There was a time where I signed a contract and I earned a few quid, and I do mean a few quid, and unbeknown to me, had pretty much signed my entire life away, my future away, portions of my potential future income away, for a very small fee. Because I didn't know what I was doing, and I try to see the best in people and think that everybody acts with integrity and honesty and have my best interest at heart. I've learned many times over the years that I need to harden up in that area, which is what you're for, what you do for me. But yeah, that was something that could have really bit me if it wasn't for you helping me out with that. And first of all, I find all that stuff very boring. Reading contracts written in a language I don't understand. Second of all, it's written in a language I don't understand. It makes me nervous in case I do get something wrong, and it's just comforting to have that top cover and someone that knows what they're doing to read through it, highlight anything that we might want to challenge, highlight the bits that are good, and then when we're happy, sign, move on, and then it takes up no mental space. Before, it just, those things racked my brain constantly, and they were stressful. And the serious side of that is that it does cause you sleepless nights, and you do get stressed, and you get angry and anxious and worried, because, you know, I got a family to look after. And before, I was kind of just signing things because I saw the dollar signs, and that's pretty much what I was interested in because I've got a family to support. So yeah, it's very important, actually, and on a serious note, that people that know what they're doing do that. And not only that they know what they're doing, that they fight for the best deal for you. Because again, I would just be like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. You know, not really considering, should I fight for a bit more money? Because actually, you know, I've done X, Y, Z, and in this world, that's valued at this, but I value myself much less than that. And then you fight to value me for what's fair. Which is, you know, what it's all about.
And it's tough because there's a lot of sharks out there, a lot of wolves. You're a classic little Red Riding Hood.
I feel that way sometimes.
They're dressing up as grandma, coming to get you. But it is unbelievable the amount of people who can see someone who's a triple amputee and a father of three and see that as an opportunity to basically rip you off.
Yeah. Yes. Like I said, I've had it many times up to this point. Not since we've met, but I went through that journey before. And, you know, I come from a world in the military where you have to put 100% trust in people because people's lives are dependent on it in certain situations. And I've been in that world, well, I was in that world from the age of 17 to 28, 29 or something. So I just looked at everyone the same. I thought, everyone's a good person. Everyone's got integrity. Everyone's got my best interest at heart. And then when you come out into the big bad world, you realize that's not the case. And some people are wolves in sheep's clothing. And you need someone to not expose that, to protect you from that.
Thank you for listening. And please do join Mark and me for part two coming very soon. We'd also like to hear what you think about this podcast series. Please do get in touch at Good Vibes Only Talent on social channels and tune in soon. Bye for now.